we'll be allowing her to speak to us. We are so excited to hear from her. And then after following, we will accept questions. So.
Go Bears.
Go Bears. Go Bears.
The way this came about was after the inauguration, where are you? Who emailed me? Thank you. Like 2 minutes after the inauguration, which I didn't look at. I mean, I think I looked at it the next day and I was like, oh. So somehow what I said got translated into, we're going to decrease tuition. Yeah, it's not going to happen. We can't afford it. Like, if we could, we would do it, okay? So I just wanted to come, rather than, you know, have a set of questions to a reporter and then have it come out in the Northern Review, which is a great place for it to come out. I thought it would just be better to come here, talk to you about it, and take any questions you might have about it. My esports friend in the back, though, might ask me an esports question, and that's good, too. So whatever you want to ask, is good. So I talked a lot about accessibility and keeping college affordable, and there was a great set of data that came out that showed, and if you haven't like read it or looked at it, there's a statistic, it's like 700 universities, the students least able to pay, actually paid more percentage-wise than students who were better able to pay. That happened at 700 universities. At another, and I'm not remembering the number right now, maybe 90 universities, it was double. The students who could least afford to pay doubled, and then there were a few that tripled. And to me, it's like mind-blowing. And I saw this, and of course, my first thing was to write, go, okay, where's ONU, like holding my breath. Turned out ONU stayed the same. It actually decreased by a few dollars, but it essentially stayed the same. So that is about like holding that line. It's not to say we won't ever not have tuition increases. We did. We have a 2% for the year coming up. A lot of places took much more. The 2% is the least we can take in order to, for example, our faculty and staff have had raises in a long time, and they're really behind. So the new budget coming out has a 2% raise for them, and it's not 2% because we increased you guys 2%. This is all part of a larger budget. But they've got a raise in there for them and a catch up so that we can get them caught up. So my that part of my inauguration address was about keeping it as accessible and affordable as possible. So is that, because that was a great question to ask, and I just love that you emailed and like, hey, does that mean this? Yeah. I don't see in the foreseeable future that we would ever decrease tuition, and that is economics. There aren't too many prices that decrease. We don't get to take a building down. We can take a building down, but we're still paying for everything, right? So it's very rarely do you see, and where am I? Economics majors, where are you? I thought econs the hardest class. Prices coming down, the economy overall is probably not in great shape, right? So I don't foresee that happening. My commitment to you, and it has a lot to do with my background and where I've been as a faculty member and an administrator, is to keep this as accessible and as affordable as possible. Okay, did that answer your original?
Yes, it did. I do have one other question, though, which is, how do you plan on going through with your promise to double the endowment within the next 5 years?
How am I going to double the endowment? On average, I spend 2 to 3 days a week talking, meeting with donors, or engaging in some type of activity. I think it was this week, Monday, we drove to Indiana for lunch. Okay, just lunch, right? These are people that give upper six figures, so I do a lot of that, right? I do a lot of that. It's, Adrian knows, my schedule comes almost after we set the schedule, and then when we have the opportunity to meet with others, I take it, right? To me, that is a 24/7, 365. putting that out there. I asked my tutor when I leave Dr. Thompson Rush, I could tell you if it's like, she'll tell you what you said. But I'm not afraid to set big goals. I don't care if we don't get it. I mean, I do care, so I'm a little concerned, but it's like if you don't put a big goal out there, you won't get it. For us to double the endowment, the stock market is going to have to rise. That's going to take care of a lot of it. But for me, if I can, me working with our advancement team, if we have another $100 million, so that is 50% more, we have about $200 million. We have $300 million, we could draw 4.5 million more. That makes everything so much easier, right? We essentially have no more issues budgetary, right? So my part of keeping this experience affordable is to grow that endowment. Because I don't know if you know what we do with that. So we have a campaign going on and it's $100 million. We're already, I think, at 103, 104. We're hoping to get to 112 by the time it closes, because that would make it the largest campaign by October. That doesn't mean we have $104 million more coming in. Half of it is deferred, so half of it is after someone passes away and we get it from their estate. So half of these are estate gifts, right? The other half, it varies. It's unusual for somebody to just go, just $10 million, do whatever you want. Usually they say, here's $100,000, I want it in a scholarship for musical theater majors from rural Ohio. It's like, all right, so we have that money, but it is set aside. Or in this campaign, I think we've had 13 or 14 different faculty endowments. So the money's there and the spin-off, the earnings from that, the interest, if you will, goes to pay an extra little bit of stipend to a particularly good faculty. So that's, you know, so when I say doubling the endowment, what I'd really like is to bring in the next 5 years, $100 million more cash. That's going to be crazy hard. I'd be celebrating if we brought in $50 million more in cash in 5 years. But every bit of it, every gift that comes in that actually hits that endowment, we get those earnings. And those earnings are budget relieving. Anything that is budget relieving means we can keep the cost down, right? We also have to control spending. So that's the other thing going on. And then you've all heard about the demographic cliff. We will have fewer students. And so how do we manage that? Because we're built for a certain size. We have to shrink probably a little. So what does that look like, right? And by shrinking, I'm not going to pay Dr. Thompson Bradshaw less, right? We have to look at how do we shrink, like how do we keep this experience, how do we keep it going, right? And we're in really good shape compared to a lot of other institutions. This is just not a fun time to have my job, right? It's not like everything's looking good and times are great and there's more and more students and we are scrambling. And I don't sugarcoat that, but we're fundamentally strong
underneath.
Sorry, I gave a really long answer.
It's okay. I really appreciate your honesty with that question.
We have to be. I mean, truly, I could have zero tuition increases, right? Have everybody be on scholarship. Like, my dream, like, if somebody came and said, I'll give you $100 million, what's your idea? I'm like, I want this education to be accessible regardless of what ability you have.
Right
there. We can do that. But it would take hundreds of millions of dollars. So, anybody else?
Yeah.
That's a great question. Do you remember what it was? You did not remember. Give me
a
Friends in Low Places.
Yeah.
Stressful time of year. it's really warm, so it's kind of this way Mother Nature stuff ends up being cold, right? But good luck with the rest of your studies. How many are sophomores and juniors? Yeah, to me that's the worst. And I promise you it gets better. You know, isn't it true though? It is.
Yes.
Like it's always harder, and then the last semester of your junior year and your senior year, so much easier. You've got that to look forward to. Am I right, Dr. Thompson?
Yes.
Yeah. See, like sophomore and junior, you think, oh, it's never going to fit, but it will. So, if you have nothing else, I'm going to go Bears.
We do have a question in the back.
Okay.
As a representative of esports, how do you plan to kind of help support esports and that organizations like esports that have a lot of students and individuals that are interested in participating? I know that from a scholarship perspective, a lot of programs are started with scholarships and then aren't able to continue that because it's kind of maybe a booster thing, but how do you
plan on helping programs that get started like esports? But I will just, and it's a really important point of fact, we do not give scholarships for sports participation. We can't read D3. Just to be, we can't. D1 does that, we don't do that. There's always, and I know with esports, and we went back and shared that information with the club, we actually support esports more than all of our competitors, and in some cases, by a factor more. So I would say with respect to esports, there's that. There's also a constant, or there should be, maybe in the past there wasn't. Going forward, we're going to be looking at everything we're doing, and like, does it work? Does it keep working? Does it continue to work? Esports is a program that whoever started that, that's great. Like, how do we keep it? How do we keep it going? How do we support it? There are other things that maybe aren't as well attended or enough students aren't participating. We have academic programs that have just dwindled, and it's something we've done forever, but we have to look at that. So whether it's esports or any of our athletic programs, we're going to start to do more of the general phrase would be program review. But I would look for that. It doesn't mean we're looking to cut, we're just looking to spend the money that we have really, really wisely. So, okay? And I do try to attend, I can't attend every event, but I try to get to one, you know, at least one event of every sport. And, you know, I tried to log on to esports, but I swear that the two times I've tried, it just didn't pop up. So we're working. So, as much as you all can support all of our teams, whether they're club or varsity athletics. So we did start a new one, and that was bowling. And it was just like they had the first practice at Morada. And do you know why it's called Morada?
North of Ada.
Let me know.
Now that you say it like that, I'm guessing it means Northern Ada.
North of Ada. Like, who knew, right? North Ada. I know. Oh, did you know that person? Are you from Ada?
No.
Wow.
Okay, so the bully team had their first practice. We got 8, and then 3 students who are currently here joined in. They think they'll end up with a team of 15. We thought there'd be 10 to 15. This must be costumes, right? Look out the window. There's like a wrap of clothing.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Always something
wrong. We'll keep an eye on that, right? And if it doesn't, I mean, that would be something that will stop. So I don't think we will, right? So we're always looking at every single club and sport activity, along with academic partners. Dr. Thompson Bradshaw knows that I'm looking at it going, what do you need to stop? What is the, and I say bouncy house, you probably all love a bouncy house, and I'm making that up, like I'm just making it up, we're not stopping a bouncy house. But if the bouncy house, nobody was going in it for freshman orientation.
It's inflatables.
And then, like, your 10 students,
inflatables.
Like, why are we spending $50,000 a year on the bouncy house, right? if we spend $50,000 someplace else. I don't think that's the case, right?
No.
Yeah. I see very sleepy students going in that bouncy house. But, I mean, whatever that is, this is a case where in Dr. Thompson Bryce's whole division, they are actively looking at every one of us. So it's about how do we do the best that we can do with the money that you all spend? Because we only have two sources of revenue, you and gifts. That's it. We don't have the state. But even state schools, when I started in Michigan State, it was 80% state funded. When I left, it was 19. This is another improvement. But when I left, it was 19% support by the state. So even state schools that were going to say the big ones, the state is just not able to do it. Any other questions?
What would you say the biggest areas of growth are for student life, like specifically for students on our campus? Such an open-ended question. Don't do that.
You have to tell me what you want to see grow, right?
Uh-huh.
What I am concerned about, and we're actively working to have the second floor of Petrick become, like the first floor, more of a student support center. COVID. You all were COVID schools. Like, I'm so sorry. That was just awful, right? So we have some students that just need a little more help. I think we need to do a better job on retention. So actually having a better student support space, that we've identified that second floor. And to your comment about what am I doing, I am meeting with a donor and his spouse so many times about that space. And we're really close. And we're down to drawing and moving around furniture. So that is what I like to do, right? Okay, that and we're quietly working on baseball. I'll just say that. So there are some quiet, big gifts that once the pen is put to paper, we can go after the rest of it. So we'll have softball starting off. As soon as this season is done, you'll see that field torn up and a new one put in. That's made the baseball guys like a little like, really? It's like, well, they showed us the money. So I think finishing up West Campus and obviously Kinghorn. Yeah, that is going to be huge. And it's going to be really difficult to get that money as all of these other things happen. But I think it's so important we just keep it. Did that answer your question?
It did, yes.
Okay. What do you wish I would have said?
Actually, I think you started it off perfectly by asking us to tell you what we would want. So thank you for that. I feel like it's very transparent, very telling of what you expect out of us as students. So thank you.
Well, and participate in the campus master plan conversations.
Absolutely.
That's huge. Okay, you have a question?
Yeah, so you mentioned earlier about doing kind of program reviews for athletics, and you briefly touched on doing it for our academic programs as well. How do you plan on doing that, or are you looking at cuts to faculty or things of that nature, or cutting programs?
See, when you say program review, you go right to cuts. What about growth? Reviewing a program means just that. Right, you get a review. It's not with a mind to do something. It's with a mind to what do we need. Right, so truly, and I'm not doing it. I have a fabulous provost that will be doing it, right? And she's already working with faculty on where is the enrollment, where has the enrollment been, what is the tenure look at, where is it today, what do they expect going forward? That's all in the strategic plan too. Looking at the things like on the Bureau of Labor Statistics. So, where are my nursing? Some majors just, it's just harder, right? And students aren't in those majors. So, how do we, it's a difficult conversation. So, the whole program review is a holistic review. We don't go to your doctor. One number and the doctor looks at you and says, you are this, right? Maybe your belt size is, your inseam size is 32. So there you go, you're 32. What's that mean? What's your belt size like? How many numbers you weigh? What's your red blood size? Like, there are a million numbers that define it. It's the same thing with every program we have. Athletic, academic, intramural, everything, right? They told us we're looking at that, however, we need to keep doing it. If we can have great programs, okay? We can't just say,
We can get the specifics from academic affairs, though.
Bless you.
What did you think I would say?
I don't know. I was curious.
Just people have been extraordinarily welcoming. She'll tell you that we don't have problems. We have
opportunities.
Leadership opportunities. There have been leadership opportunities, right? But everybody here is just willing to address it, right? And you see, like, how can we come together to solve it? So, no, it's been. I'd like to see any change in this body culture. You know what? There's one thing, but I don't know. I get why. I would love it if somebody could go home on the weekends.
Raise your hands. Every weekend for 3 years. Raise your hands.
We're just calling him out.
I wish that we had more people here. I don't want to require that that's that they're required to be here, but I wish we had more fun things to do to keep you here. Like, I've heard about Tunes on the Tundra, just watched Dr. Thompson Bradshaw shiver. But I wonder if there's a way to do that in a safer way. Or I wish we had more local businesses that could interest you so that you stay here. Or just, like, I would tell you, Tom Simmons, our athletic director, serves a comment with this. Like, where is everybody? Labor Day, y'all stayed on campus, but it was because there were, it was some crazy number, like 8 different sporting things on, and so I'm like, get a van. He had a van in the parking lot at the football stadium. Like, we should be doing that, right? Save stuff, right? Save, right? So that is the one thing. I've been at campuses with tremendous cultures, but I've been academics, and just a tiny nudge. Like, overall, oh my gosh, I'm going to change you guys. You're super kind. Somebody asked me from Auburn the thing that I miss the most, and it's a silly, I think you've heard me say this, I miss Hagen. Yeah, they don't say how, they say hey, right? There's a day when this group, it's their equivalent, this group gets a whole bunch of stickers. When I say a whole bunch, I mean a whole bunch. And there's one day that started after World War II when they were welcoming the servicemen back to campus. And this group is the starter, and they just went around and said, hey, when somebody says, hey, you got a sticker, and then you got a sticker to pass on. And their goal was by the end of the day, everybody had been hey, right? And it's just like being very purposeful about how we connect with people. I miss that day. Everybody went to hey day, right? And they would get right? And it's just a visible sign of connection. And especially when we are dealing with a lot of mental health challenges and that phone thing, oh my Lord, right? I know, or on the phone texting the person that, like, sometimes just that picking your head up and saying, hey, I'm glad you're here. So I don't know what that would look like here, but I'd love that, right? But overall, my gosh, this is like Mary Poppins campus, practically perfect in every way.
So you mentioned you wanted student input on the master plan. What style of student input would you want? Something to do with like how to redesign the campus to be more accessible to students, or something more along the lines of
a
cultural
shift?
Because
we hired an architecture firm to help us with that, who has, you know, decades of experience with that. But I mean, what we attend the campus master plan sessions where they're asking questions and giving the input there. So accessibility is coming, which is going there and saying, hey, accessibility is an issue. Because if we hear it once, and that's the only time we hear it, and there are 5,000 other responses, what does that tell people? No, maybe it's not an issue here. It is an issue here, right? I'm in a building that is not accessible, right? And then it falls into a loophole. It's a historic building. If we ever renovate them, we will. But it's one of those funny, we have a lot of buildings that are not accessible. We have a lot of historic buildings. So is that going to rise to the top? I don't know. Right? But yeah, every time somebody like me or Dr. Thompson Bradshaw or your own SGA leaders ask the leader, what do you think? We want to make this work study out here. He goes to everything, right? And he asks this question. Never pass on that opportunity.
I know I was actually filling out the campus master plan today instead of doing other things. So I took a lot of time, and specifically one of the questions was talking about dining, dining services on campus. And I know that that's something that if you literally Google, Northern comes up. We literally have our own urban dictionary things for things that happen on campus. So what are ways that you guys are planning to focus on fixing and or remodeling the dining system as a whole from the university perspective to help better students' experiences?
Does everybody hear that? Short answer, we're not.
We are.
Until you do what? Fill out the forms and tell us how important it is. Is the dining here the most important thing that we should allocate our resources to?
Close, but not top.
Close,
but not top.
I had to let, we had a group on campus this past weekend, and they sent in all these comments raving. We were just laughing. I know, right? So it's we've had Sodexo, I want to say since the 70s, but it's your comments, right? And I don't know, and you in the whole urban, you know, whatever. It's hard to say, is it real or has it just become a thing here and it's popular to go? I know they're always trying, and I've heard about warm cookie. Did you have that today?
It smells better.
So more like the try. It's like, how do we do it all and how do we keep the cost down? Because I saw how many of you eat chicken? Yeah, our chicken costs about by a quarter. We ate those. Because we, you've already paid, right? So we eat that, right? No pun intended, right?
It's
eggs, chicken, right? So figuring out how to do it and still have the price point be reasonable. I've heard a lot about it. I've talked to Dr. Mr. Roche, and so just if you all have enough, if you want to make this your thing, ride that horse, right? I'm okay with that. It's not like how nice can it is that more important than I bet Dr. Thompson Bradshaw has five things she would put up against it. But that might be the important thing. And I'm not gonna know that, right? You all know that. If I go in and get a salad and walk past the ice cream, but evidently we could have it at breakfast. Which is why I don't go in. I don't even know if it's good ice cream. I don't tell me it's good. Because I never put it on days in that ice cream. But, like, you have so much power, right? So I don't have anything to try to complain to you because we need to hear from you all. Okay? Xavier did a thing where, and I don't know if we did this already, but they had a contest of keeping the for grandmother's recipes, and kept the dining hall started making them. And so one day it would be like home cooked white. So much fun, right?
Yeah.
I know, and if we don't do that, that is really good. Because eating, yeah, right at
time. We have our dining services man over there.
Oh, where's our dining services?
Raise your hand, Bronson.
Thank you.
To elaborate what she said about having things to keep people on campus made me think about having spaces for student activities to host things. Because I'm well aware of the fact that it's often difficult for especially smaller groups somewhere to host their activities. Getting this room or the barricade tends to be the only option because of the Sodexo contract. We can't have food in here, which is a major driver in getting people to attend events. So is that something you can plan on addressing?
It's very true.
Does everybody hear the question? You know, like small groups, no place to meet. That's part of the proposed State Farm Foundation. Is that would include a little bit more meeting space for students, whether in the right part, probably in the right part. No, I get it. It's tweaks that we can do here to make it a little bit easier. And if you love the food, having that food in your event would be a good thing. And that's a great comment. And that's in the when we get to be more of that part. Good question.
Okay, I have one final question and then we'll wrap up for today. Thank you so much for attending. We really appreciate it. My last question is, how do you look to improve sustainability at the campus?
Sustainability, not financial sustainability, but green sustainability?
Yes, green.
Okay, I mentioned the Maya roof. That's going to be a white roof. So it's like where we can, and it's costing us more money to do it, but in the long run, it'll pay off. I wanted solar panels and the white roof, but we could not swing the solar panels. Probably add that in the coming years. So it's where we have the opportunity to address it. They already went through, and I don't know the name of it, Adrian probably does, a whole plan that finished that saved us like 15% on our energy usage and cost, which replacing light bulbs, and we're all done with that. So the campus looks different at night because of the light. So these are small things that are done incrementally. There'll be more charging stations, frankly. We have a donor that, we're back to the endowment, that wanted to be sure that on the day of the inauguration, they told me, and they did, that he was pledging $500,000. His particular gift goes only to environmentally sustainable projects. So he donates $100,000 a year, and we use that every year. So he's pledged for the next 5 years to do it. So these are incremental changes that when we can make that choice, we do. Is that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. For me, I would love to get rid of every single desktop printer. And that will be a knockdown, drag out fight with staff members. That becomes a red shop.
We don't have one.
I don't need a printer. But we have people like, I just want to move it. To get it like this, I don't want to get up and walk over there. And like, printer cartridges, they just like are just so bad for me. I'm like, it's a real sense. So something is changing how we do things.
I know many of the students, we've noticed the new charging solar powered stations around campus, and we were just kind of curious, do you know where those came from? Whose project was that? Because it wasn't us.
No, that you can give Mr. Brush. So when you're unhappy with him about Sodexo, you gotta get
that's
him.
That's all.
Little TLC because of that, right?
Okay.
So that's his thing.
Yes.
We would love to have more solar charging all over campus, like for your phones, for your like that. And they're not windmills.
The turbines.
The wind turbines. So. When I came, that was something we also took down because they weren't working.
Correct.
One was sitting, but it did not generate any energy. It was just a danger to the town. Like, why would you have a hazard if you don't need it? We ordered two more. We ordered them when I first came. This is a supply chain issue. It's one is on its way from India, and I've heard that since July. So I have no idea when it's coming. But that, paradoxically, though, the two that we're getting to replace the three will produce like a third more power. So they're much, much more efficient. But the electricity that we have to turn around and buy from it is more expensive electricity. So part of that is us saying it's so important to be green that we, and we're hoping to make up that difference by cutting usage other places.
Okay. Thank you so much for attending today. We really do appreciate your transparency and your honesty. We really do love having the opportunity to hear from you. Thank you so much.
Anytime, and thank you for the original question, right? So just good luck with finals, right? Where are my graduating seniors?
I don't think we have any.
Nobody? One?
No. Kind of. He's a pharmacist.
I'm looking for my first semester.
I was like, what?
And this toast is the seniors. So have a good rest of the meeting. Thank you all.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.